May 15th marks the 75th anniversary of the Nakba, the catastrophe that befell the Palestinian people in 1948 and which is ongoing. The Nakba has to be remembered, obviously, as an event in itself. Half the Palestinian people were driven from their country. Their lands were taken by the Zionists. Their villages, towns, and urban areas were replaced by Jewish villages, towns, and urban areas. And in fact, the state of Israel replaced what would have been a Palestinian state. But the Nakba is also important because it reveals the actual character of Zionism. And in that way, it reveals what has to be done in order to get to some kind of a just resolution of this situation. Zionism is a deadly combination of Eastern European ethno-religious nationalism and settler colonialism. Together, Jews abroad, a foreign population, claimed an exclusive claim over Palestine that they saw as the land of Israel. And through the sponsorship of the international community, the League of Nations, the largest colonial power of its day, Great Britain, that controlled Palestine, the Zionists were actually able to initiate a settler colonial project that brought them to 1948 and to the Nakba. And if we understand the purposes of Zionism, which was to replace Palestine with Israel, to replace the Palestinian population with a Jewish population, to transform an Arab country into a Jewish country. And the flip side of that, of course, is ethnic cleansing, because you can't establish a Jewish country unless you take the land of the Palestinians and displace and even expel a large part of the population. So if we understand that, and the Nakba is the epitome of that, this is the very essence of the ultimate expression of Zionism, in a sense, then we begin to understand what has to be done in order to get to some kind of a just resolution. And the only way out of a colonial situation is not through negotiations. I mean, Israel is not going to negotiate with the Palestinians that it doesn't see as a side. Israel has never recognized the national rights of the Palestinian people. It's not through compromise. What are we expecting the Palestinians to compromise on? Being erased from the country, losing their lands, having half the population being refugees these last 75 years. What are they supposed to compromise on? And it certainly isn't this weird two-state idea that's gone. There are 800,000 Israeli settlers living today in the occupied territory, in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. So that the only way out of a settler colonial situation is to decolonize, to dismantle the structures of control and domination that Israel has established over Palestine and through which it continues to rule, and in the end, to arrive, in our view, in ICAD's view, the view of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolition, to one democratic state over historic Palestine, granting equal rights to all its citizens, including, of course, the right of return of Palestinian refugees. Regardless of the political resolution, Israeli Jews have to be a part of the solution. They have to be a part of the liberation of Palestine from Zionist settler colonialism. So that ICAD, the Israeli Committee Against House Demolition, is offering the following video that presents the voices of a number of critical anti-colonial Israelis reflecting on the Nakba. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for Palestine? What does it mean for the future? And what we're suggesting in this is that critical Israeli Jews be seen as comrades in a common anti-colonial struggle with our Palestinian comrades in order to liberate Palestine from Zionist settler colonialism, and then to establish a new entity, a new polity, a new political community that includes us all. So that, without further ado, I'm presenting the following video of the Israeli voices reflecting on the Nakba that I think you'll find very interesting and very fruitful from the point of view of beginning to understand how Israeli Jews can be integrated into this liberation struggle.
The political discourse in Israel tends to describe the political reality in some zero-game terms, meaning that for one side to win, the other must lose, or that the memorization of one side's history necessitates the erasure of that of the other. In this line, we can find patterns of thought and beliefs, such as it's either us or them, or acknowledging their pain and their trauma will lead to the erasure of our pain and trauma. This way of thinking has many negative consequences. One of them is that we are afraid of the other. From this fear stems the perception that we are always in danger of perishing, hence we'll always live on our swords, we'll always venerate human sacrifice, and that there is no way out of the continual state of war, occupation, displacements, and repression. Buzzwords such as restoring deterrence legitimize disproportionate violence and even war crimes. It is therefore misleading to think of the Nakba, the Palestinian disaster, in terms of past tense. It is instead an ongoing event. The damage that the ongoing Nakba generates is, of course, tremendous for Palestinians, but it is no less destructive for us as a people and individuals. Not only is the violence that we direct towards Palestinians also directed inwards, moreover, our perspectives, ethics, and morality, the capability to see the reality from the other's viewpoint and make decisions accordingly, are being gradually eroded and bringing us to the abyss. The Palestinian disaster is also ours, and their future is our future.
Hi, my name is Matan Kaminer. I'm an anthropologist, and I want to take the opportunity to mention the Nakba's political ecological effects. In his book about the Great Revolt of 1936 to 1939, Elsan Kanafani defined one of Zionism's goals as transformation of the Palestinian economy from an essentially Arab agricultural economy to an industrial economy dominated by Jewish capital. The Nakba was an essential part of that process, and probably its most consequential moment. The vast majority of the Palestinian population displaced by the Nakba was made up of peasants and Bedouin, and the eradication of their agrarian ways of life was permanent. Palestinians had lived in hill country, cultivated for millennia, with grain, olive, and fruit trees. They lived in wetlands, rich with wildlife, where they raised buffalo and foraged. And they lived in arid zones, with herds of goats, sheep, and camels. Though Palestine had always been connected to regional and global economies, until 1948, most of its Arab inhabitants spent at least some of their time producing for their own needs, utilizing both ancient and modern ecological knowledge. Most of the ecosystems in which they have lived have been irreparably damaged, and much of the knowledge has been lost. Return, as I understand it, is also a project of salvaging what is left of those ecosystems and applying that knowledge to the restoration of environmental balance, a particularly urgent task given the dangers posed by climate change.
There's one important thing I wish to say about the Nakba. There's no Zionism without it. This is true both in the historical sense and the conceptual one. Historically, the Zionist state was established upon the ruins of the Palestinian people, on massive acts of deprivation, deportation, demolition, on the deliberate erasure of Palestinian history and the intentional reshape of Palestine's landscape. And conceptually, it is crucial to see that these acts of eradication are of the essence for Zionism, This is why the Nakba is perpetrated and has never actually stopped. People yearn today to the Israeli Declaration of Independence. There's nothing there to yearn to. In order to bring the Nakba to an end, finally, Zionism must come to its end.
הנכבה היא האסון הלאומי שלהם, היא האסון הבלתי נשכח שלהם, אבל היא קרתה ב-1948. הבעיה היא לא מה שקרה ב-1948, למרות שאני לא מקל בזה ראש. הבעיה שהנכבה מעולם לא הסתיימה. היא נמשכת עד רגע זה, שנים על שנים, שמה שקרה בנכבה ממשיך לקרות בכל מיני דרכים, בכל מיני צורות, מבלי שישראל אי פעם העלתה על דעתה לקחת אחריות על הנכבה, אחריות מוסרית, פיצוי, השבה, שום דבר. אבל מילא שהיא לא מוכנה להתנצל או לפצות או לתקן, היא גם לא מוכנה להפסיק, כי המדיניות שמנחה את ישראל מאז הנכבה היא בדיוק אותה המדיניות, אותם עקרונות לא מוסריים שהנחו אותה בנכבה. וזה מה שמזעזע כל כך.
My name is Rachel Betarye. I'm the director of Zohot, an organization that is dedicated to recognition of the Nakba and Palestinian right of return within Israeli society. Israelis have to acknowledge and take responsibility for the Nakba in order for us to move forward from where we are now. We need to acknowledge the rotten foundations upon which our society is based. We need to acknowledge the racism of the Israeli state, of the Zionist movement. We need to acknowledge this crime of displacement of almost a million Palestinians in 1948, not just for historical accuracy, but because this crime continues until today. Most of the Palestinian people today are still stateless, and many of them still live in refugee camps today. Palestinians who live under the control of Israel are still subjected to arrests, to house demolitions, and to all kinds of oppression and discrimination. And all of this is a continuation of the same logic that made the Nakba possible in the first place. This is a time of sort of awakening in Israeli society, rejection of some of the more extreme ideas, but it has not gone far enough so far, and we need to go farther. We need to acknowledge the Nakba, reject the ideology that made it possible, and instead embrace the ideas of equality and shared living for everyone on this land, without discrimination, without hierarchy of human lives, shared space for everyone, both Palestinians and Jewish people, both those who live here now, and refugees who have the right to return.
My name is Tom Pesach. I'm a Israeli sociologist and political activist. I first learned about the Nakba when I was studying in Tel Aviv University in the 1990s in a course called the Palestinian Society in Israel with Dr. Manar Hassan. Until this course, I thought Palestinians were mainly people who lived in relatively far from me in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. But through the course, I realized that the very house that I live in the neighborhood that I grew up in North Tel Aviv were actually founded on and built upon lands that used to belong to Palestinians before 1948, and that the refugees and their descendants are still around, some of them within the borders of the State of Israel and some outside. And this realization, I think, was very difficult for me, but I think it was also very healthy for me, because I think to understand what happened to the majority of the Palestinian people is a very essential coordinate for any Israeli to understand our reality. And it's something which impacts Palestinians, their feelings, their imagination, their in every interaction with us as Israelis. And I also think it's very healthy for us to, first of all, we need to know the reality, we need to know the truth. And secondly, it cures us of a lot of racism and a lot of condescension that we acquire as a result of not knowing the reality properly and being taught we're always the most moral and the most just and always the victims. So I think this period of these days, the Israeli Day of Independence and the Nakba Day, is a good opportunity for everyone to cure ourselves of our ignorance and to learn more of what happened here.
Seventy-five years after the Nakba, the Israeli state and the Israeli society keep lying, denying, avoiding, doing everything they can not to admit the Israeli responsibility for the Nakba and for two-thirds of the Palestinians being forcibly displaced from their homes, their field, their country. It is time now for all Israelis, and for that matter, for all Jews who think that they care about Israel, to admit not just the responsibility, but to admit that they have avoided facing it, avoided a solution to the problem that they have created, and to act together with the Palestinians for a solution which is just, which is peaceful, and which allows all those living in Palestine and the refugees who have a right to return, as the UN has decreed, all of them to live between the river and the sea in a democracy for all people who live there, not just for Jews. We don't want a Jewish democracy. We want a people's democracy in the whole of Palestine, not a Zionist democracy for the master race. And now is the time to do that.